welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit livingthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, right, hello, welcome to episode 324 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. You right, Sean?
I am stunning.
It's still hottest day in the history of the universe. We're recording a few on the bounce here, aren't we?
It's fairly cool, actually.
It's all right, actually. We've got a fan blowing and we've got lots of fans blowing in this room.
Did you know that you've got sparkly stuff on your chin? It must be from the kids' toys.
You've been sat on me for like an hour now.
I keep looking at it, and I thought it was the white hairs in your beard that were sparkling, but it's not. It's gold. It's gold and sparkling.
It's gold. I'm just sparkling. It's just this, yeah.
Is that what it is?
I'm turning into pure solid gold.
It's like you've been to a disco or something.
I did wash my face this morning too, for a change. So I don't know what that could be. It's probably kid-related. And we're talking about kids today a bit, aren't we? In terms of exam results, I'm assuming this is going out in like mid-August, so exam results.
Yeah, people would have done them. Yeah.
So we probably could have timed this one a bit better, but.
But someone actually came to me and asked me about this because they were anxious about their own child, or own children actually, because they got one who's just done the uni.
Yes.
Those have come out.
Yeah.
But it's the GCSEs and the A levels that are coming up. And creating a lot of tension and anxiety for people.
Okay, we'll come on to that in a sec. Quick mention to the website, livingthepresent.co.uk. All the show notes and links, some good ones this week. Sean's written a blog post, and as he always does for each show. And do sign up for the mailing list so you get alerts for the show. Discount codes. Meditation files. Come on, you should know, man. You should do all this stuff. How come I've always got to do all this bit?
Because you're the boss. And I just go, yes, Ed, all right, Ed.
Okay. check it out. Go to the website. And get in touch about future episodes as well, if there's anything you would like us to discuss.
Yeah.
Stuff going on all the time. Always stuff to talk about.
Can't stop talking.
Right. So, exam results. Really fascinating stuff, really. Thinking about... Well, we have very different experiences of school.
Yeah.
Just because yours was like 100 years ago, when the system was... Did you get whacked with a cane?
People used to get the cane.
Yeah.
Girls got the slipper, boys got the cane.
The slipper?
Yeah.
With a hard sole, or just like
like a gym slipper, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah. So slippers, there's nothing to it. There's a massive difference between a cane and a slipper.
You're not kidding. and girls had more ample bottoms than chaps.
Oof.
So it was all the
I ain't commenting on that, Sean. Flipping heck. Oh, my word. If you've got a complaint, any complaints to make about anything said on this show, please do direct it via the website.
You're to Ed.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You did exams, did you?
Well, I did things like 11 plus and stuff like that. I was in a big comprehensive school that had 2,700 kids in it. It was quite a big event.
Mm-hmm.
And it was split into the top three sets in each year were grammar. The middle three sets were secondary modern, they called them.
Okay.
And the third three sets were people that were doing vocational training.
Wow, so you had this class system within the school itself?
Within the comprehensive system, yeah.
Flipping heck.
So I was in the grammar bit.
Obviously.
But I left home and school at the age of 15, and the exams were taken at the age of 16.
So you left school as well then?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I thought you... Oh, yeah, I guess...
Yeah.
Were questions raised, or was it just like, oh, Sean's gone?
No, in those days, boys could leave at 15, girls had to be 16. You could leave home at 15.
Okay.
But I actually went to the careers master, because there was a careers department in the school, and explained my situation at home, and he helped me find a job. So he found me a job in a publisher's, and... So I was 15 in February, started a job in August, and left home in September, and I was gone.
Wow. No more exams? Until?
Well, until I didn't actually do any exams as we would understand them until I was about 29.
Okay. And when your therapeutic, like, professional career began?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I'd actually had done training and had been examined, but not in our sense. It was in the Ayurvedic sense.
Okay.
So I'd done that for 5 years before I did any of the Western stuff. But I mean, essentially, I sat down at the age of 29 doing O-level or GCSE examinations in an examination hall with kids that were 16.
So, you'd skipped out this like 15-year gap in your life, and then you slotted back in.
And it was like, you know, in that film Elf,
yeah,
where you've got this great big guy in the middle of all these, it's that kind of thing. It was like odd.
Flipping it. Wow. Okay. Well, my experience score was really like on point, and I just ticked all the boxes. So yeah, I went to a local grammar school as well, because at the age of 10, I did take the 11 plus, which still happens where we live, and my eldest is gearing up for that. He's 8 this year, so he'll be doing the 11 plus 3 years from now, I guess. And based on that result, that decides which school you go to locally, whether it's the grammar school, where it's a bit more academic, or you go to one of the comprehensive schools nearby. And so, you know, from an early age, and it's the same now, I do remember feeling this pressure at the age of 10 or whatever it was to pass this test, because, you know, I was reasonably bright, inverted commas, academically, and I was, you know, if you go to the grammar school, you're going to have better life chances and all that kind of stuff, you're going to be in with a better crowd. So, and I've got mixed feelings on that now, because my lads are going to be at that stage soon, and I want them to go to the grammar school because for exactly the same reasons. But, you know, you see kids that don't make the grade academically go into this other set of schools, and do they have diminished prospects in life because of that? Probably they do, really.
I think cool, maybe those prospects are much more to do with the aspirations and the expectations
of the parents.
Well, not maybe the parents, but also of the child and the school.
Was it a big deal for you to go to the grammar school bit of your school?
No, it was the local. There were three schools in my area that were all big comprehensive schools. There was a girls' school, a boys' school, and there was the mixed school. And I went to the mixed school, thank God.
Oh, wow. I went to all boys, so yeah, that kind of messed me up for a while.
Much more fun in the mixed school.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. But no, the thing for me and all that was that when you left school, when I was a kid, if you were in the grammar bit, you went into the onto academia, I suppose, in some form. The Secretary Modern lot were the lot that became things like draftsmen, and some of them were kind of engineers, that kind of thing. And the vocational lot became tradesmen, because in the school there were actual tradesmen training, like you could learn brickwork and plumbing, and people were actually trained in what were city and guilds examinations back then.
Yeah, okay.
To become tradespeople.
Cool. You know. Really practical stuff, which is always going to be needed, man.
Yeah, and you can probably earn more money as a plumber these days than you can in most things.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
When I went to the grammar school, eventually I was just on this conveyor belt for 10 years down of testing and exams, which, well, not 10 years, but GCSEs, A levels, and then I went on to do a degree. But for me, and yeah, I was academically all right, but I always struggled and still do with that application of like. And I can see the same in Will, actually, my eldest, because he's bright, but he's a daydreamer, you know. So when it comes to actually the testing side of things, he might struggle a little bit, because he just wants to be making things and learning about how things work. He doesn't want to have to be writing it down and actually.
Well, one of the statements that I'd want to make, which might be a bit controversial for those around amongst us we know that teach. Is that, to me, education, traditional education, is probably the greatest killer of creativity that there is.
Yeah.
Because we're not teaching people to think and to develop and to grow and become rounded. We're teaching them to store facts so they can regurgitate at an examination.
Yeah. This is controversial stuff, but there is my resource will be this little spoiler alert, is that Ken Robinson TED Talk, which is pretty much the top rated TED Talk, I think, of all time. It's a British guy, Ken Robinson, who the title is Do Schools Kill Creativity?
Oh, right, I like him already.
Yeah, have you not seen it?
No.
Oh, it's just an astonishing talk, incredible. Yeah. I mean, he's very witty the way he delivers it, but he tells this really amazing story about how schools that crush the creativity out of children, you know, and our system has been designed to do that.
But if you think about it, education and examination isn't about fulfilling the person and the person's potential. Education is about creating the next workforce.
Yeah.
So that we will aim our funding for education at the things that we want in the workforce.
Yeah.
So if we want more IT engineers, that's where the money's going to go. You know, that kind of thing. So people get forced into a pigeonhole rather than actually becoming who they would want to be for their own fulfillment.
Yeah.
And from that point of view, education doesn't allow you creatively to grow as a person. It usually shuts you down.
Which is unhealthy, is it, man? I mean, I remember getting really stressed about not the 11 plus as such. I was a bit too young really then, but definitely GCSEs. And through testing, like, we did a lot of tests at school, you know, through each year group, but obviously GCSE and then A-level is when it really gets serious. And I remember getting mega stressful about on exam day, because I wasn't particularly good at the revision side of things, like sitting there for, you know, an hour and reading this stuff that I'm just going to have to memorise for the test. And I hated it, and I couldn't wait to get out of that system. And, you know, I did a degree. It was an art design one, so it was all kind of coursework based. There were no tests at the end of it. And I was just amazed, like, so happy to be out of that system. Because it just didn't work for my brain, you know. And the stress around exams, the results, the build up to the results, the test itself is massive, isn't it?
Well, I see it going on in people around me. Because I didn't experience that directly, by the time I started doing stuff like that, because I was that much older, it didn't seem that important.
Yeah.
I can remember when I did my master's, we had to do 3 3-hour exams at the end of each year. And people used to get really stressed doing these exams. And they would go in, and I would do my exam, and a 3-hour exam, and I'd be an hour and a half in, and I'd finished it. And everyone else is still working away. So I'd go back through it and think, no, I've done everything I need to do. And I'd leave. And there were people that were struggling to get it all done in 3 hours because it would have had to be this and that and the other. And it was a pass or fail mark. It wasn't a graded thing. You know? And we all got the same exam. But the difference was I was really kind of chilled and relaxed about it and easy, and most of the other people on the program were really uptight and anxious and couldn't sleep the night before. And
were you worried about failing at all, or did you just think, I'll sail through this?
It didn't actually occur to me that I might not get it. I mean, I'd done the work, I knew the stuff, I answered the questions, I knew I'd answered the questions.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it was like, I guess I could have used more flowery words and used more words, but I wouldn't have changed the substance of what I said and did.
Yeah. I remember one experience I had at school, which is a weird, like, passing and failing isn't the only obstacle kids face to, like, happiness. I was in set 3 of 6 for maths at school, like, when I was in year 9 and 10 or 10 and 11. When you're building up GCSEs, and at the end of every term, the whole school or year group would do these math tests, like year wide, to see how you're doing. And I was in set 3, so I was okay. I'm pretty good at maths actually, and I like numbers, but I was happy in set 3 because, you know, it was just a good level for me. And I got 100% in this test, and I was one of only 2 people in the whole year group of, you know, the top 10% of kids on the world, apparently, that go to this school.
Mm-hmm.
I was basically the best in the whole blooming world.
In the whole
test.
World.
And that you would think would be cause for celebration, but I got really stressed about it because I all of a sudden thought, I've done too well. I've done too well. I'm going to be bumped up to set two, maybe even set one in maths, which is going to bring all this extra pressure on me to do well in the next test and in my GCSEs to get an A or an A star. I'm not that good, you know. I don't want to be that good at maths. So I got really stressed about doing well. So I googled just before we came on about, you know, exam stress result or exam result stress, and the top hit is one for Childline, the, you know, the kids charity, which dishes out advice for all sorts of things, from, you know, abuse at home to self-harming and all that kind of stuff. And there's loads of stuff on there which is quite worrying, really, in terms of advice for kids around exam time, how to deal with it and how to deflect it. And it's worrying. There's obviously a real issue with children, whatever age they are.
But we've got this pressure thing, and the issue about, you know, my kids got better marks than your kids kind of stuff, you get into that. But my thing is, what does an exam actually show? An exam, to me, shows that you've got a good memory.
Yeah.
And to me, you can be good at examinations and be really unintelligent. Yeah, intelligence to me is being able to process and do things, and knowledge isn't what you know. Knowledge is knowing where you can find out what you need to know when you need to know it. You know, and it's just because someone can stuff their head full of facts and regurgitate, it doesn't make them a creative thinker or a problem solver.
Yeah, totally. I'm just trying to find now before I talk about it. Oh yeah, yeah, it's quite a famous cartoon. It's a cartoon. There's a guy, a chap, behind a desk, sitting in a chair, and there's a row of four animals. There is a monkey, and six, a monkey, a penguin, an elephant, a goldfish in a bowl, a seal, and a dog. And the man is saying, for a fair selection, everybody has to take the same exam. Please climb that tree. And the point being that underneath it's got our education system. Everyone is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid.
Yeah. That's just so real, isn't it? And it's like, I know so many people who have been so successful who left school really early and didn't do any traditional higher education.
Yeah.
And yet they got lots of nous. Mm. You know, they're very intelligent, clever people.
Yeah.
What is it that we're measuring? We're measuring cognition all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like my beef with CBT. We're obsessed with cognition in the West. Yeah, and like cognition is such a limited way of looking at things. Whereas if you look at it with intuition and emotion and creativity, it's like such a different thing to look at.
We have weird ways of judging people, you know, and we're all guilty of it in some way or another, I guess. But yeah, we make decisions on people's abilities based on lots of things, and well, initially, like what they look like and how they dressed or how they carry themselves and,
yeah,
you know, how interactive they are in meetings or in discussions. And,
yeah,
you know, quite often maybe if you're in a meeting or a group, it's not the person that is kind of talking the most you should be listening to. It's that person at the back of the room that's too shy to say anything. They might have some incredible ideas that you need to coax out of them.
But that's like the thing when you're in the party, in the cocktail party,
yeah,
and someone's quietly talking to people in the corner and someone else comes in and is like, I'm here, pay me attention. You know, who's the most confident person? We think it's the person that's being loud, but actually the person that's in the corner just quietly talking doesn't need other people to validate them.
Yeah.
You know, they have a much deeper sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same in all these walks of life. Just because someone... that idea, and I've known so many people like this, that are academically really bright, but are too stupid to come in and out of the rain.
Yeah.
You know? They got no nous.
Yep.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. So, and I think examinations is such a weak way of examining people's potential to do something.
How do we change the system then? Because it just seems a little bit overwhelming at the moment. So.
Well, I think that the idea of continual assessment was a much better idea, and we've gone against that now. We're going back to an examinations. But in continual assessments, you can see someone developing at their own rate in their own way.
Yeah.
You know, and there is lots of potential as you go along, rather than this work, and this one big bang at the end of it. Mm. You know?
Which comes with all this baggage of pressure. And
yeah.
You know, you might just have an off day, you might have a headache, you might be feeling terrible or lousy.
Yeah, just eating a grotty cheese sandwich, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then your life can turn on these moments, yeah, can't they?
Yeah. I was doing a master's exam one year, and it was hot, and I was wearing a pair of sandals. And this woman who was struggling with the exam called the invigilator over and said that she couldn't work and do the exam because my feet smelt, and she was trying to blame me. So we picture the scene. We've now got two invigilators on their knees under the desk smelling my feet.
No way.
And in the end, they went back to him and said, his feet don't smell at all. They're fine. Yeah, and I thought it was really funny.
Your feet passed the test.
Yeah, yeah. And she never lived it down for the rest of the course. I mean, it was every time everyone saw it, it was like, Gerald, put your socks on, quick.
Put your socks on. I'm sparing you the smell of my feet, these shoes. Like, I've got a bit of a... I've worn them so much in the last year.
Yeah, but it's so hot today, isn't it? You cycled in this morning.
Yeah, you know? It's too hot to ride.
Gently dripping when you came in.
All right, you got a resource for us?
Yeah, my resource is an app called Mindshift, which is one that's recommended by a lot of the social workers that I work with for children. But it's for young people, adults, young adults, and people that are going through things like exams. It's got lots of chill out tools. We've got kind of organisational stuff on there as well. Mm. So it's a good all rounder if you are at college or you're at school. It's good.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, mine is the talk by, I think it's Sir Ken Robinson actually. At least if it's not, it definitely should be. Really well known TED talk, but it'll change your life if you haven't seen it. And it forces us to, you know, it's. Force look at some like inconvenient truths about teaching, and you know I know lots of teachers, I live with one, so, and I think all teachers need to see it, and I think most will agree that it makes sense what he says in the end, despite the kind of provocative title,
and
that we need to change our ways of teaching and change our whole way of how we judge people and how we look at children in particular and what their dreams and aspirations are, and how we kind of coax and nurture that stuff through.
Yeah.
Really, really cool talk.
Yeah.
Go and watch it right now.
I will do.
Okay.
Indeed.
Okay, livingthepresent.co.uk, all the show notes and links. And do get in touch if there's anything you'd like us to discuss in a forthcoming episode. Sean, have a good week.
And you.
See you on the other side.
Will do.
See you, mate.